A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 76. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are continuing our discussion of Dark Season. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
Dark Season, as we said last time, was a 6-part children's TV series that ran in 1991. It came to us from writer and producer Russell T. Davies, and it dealt with a trio of school children who investigate strange and mysterious events that happen in and around their school.
That's right. A BBC children's TV show. And although it is just a children's show, it did have some rather interesting elements. It was almost as if it had parts of Doctor Who and parts of Buffy the Vampire Slayer and maybe a part of the X-Files all thrown together into a children's drama show with some interesting effects, Brian.
That's right. Yeah, it actually came before Buffy the Vampire Slayer and X-Files were made and before the Doctor Who relaunch. But of course, Doctor Who had run by then and it had some interesting elements in it.
Yeah, it's almost as if it was a children's TV precursor to those type of shows that were popular in the 90s. And then, as you say, going on to the Doctor Who relaunch. So some interesting stuff along the way. And also interesting, I think, was it was just the 6 episodes with 2 3-part stories that were linked by the same characters. But it sort of perhaps had the potential to spin off into a longer-running series. You could almost imagine the trio of investigators looking into more mysterious events at this quiet English school. A bit like, I suppose, happened with Buffy and Sunnydale High, whatever it was called.
Yes, I think they did have the potential to continue it. And for various reasons, and we'll touch on a couple of them, I think, it really just didn't work out to produce those further stories.
Okay, strange. Perhaps almost something missing at the end, but never mind. So we'll stick with what we've got.
And we talked about the first 3 episodes last time, that first story. And there was a second story as well that was in episodes 4 through 6, which are a full new story with some of the same characters in it. So our 3 protagonists, Marcy, Thomas, and Reet, find the school sports field, the field out behind the school, has been fenced off for an archaeological dig. And this is very sudden, so they're not sure why this has happened, and they're questioning, why has this happened, and why is this dig there?
Absolutely. And of course, Marcy, who we've said is the inquisitive lead of the trio, who looks for the strangeness in everyday life, who keeps a notebook filled with questions, she's immediately questioning this strange archaeological dig behind fences, and a very bizarre and mysterious team of blonde sort of archaeologists or excavators. And they're very blonde, aren't they, Brian?
Yes, they are.
A very blonde bunch of scientists who claim to be excavating ancient Celtic remains. And they have some samples of bits and pieces of pottery to show the children and teachers to back this up. But as we learn again fairly quickly, they're actually seeking to reawaken something, some creature or entity which they refer to as the Behemoth, some mythical monster beneath the earth. So there's clearly mystery and sort of suspense right from the start of the second story.
That's right. And this strange team of archaeologists, or whatever they are led by Miss Pendragon, a quite sinister character played by Jacqueline Pierce, who you may well remember as Servalon, the Supreme Commander from Blake 7. And as always, she was quite commanding and intimidating in this role in Dark Season. So that was fun to see.
Absolutely. I mean, we should pause to appreciate Jacqueline Pierce, shouldn't we, Brian? She had such an impact on us as the sort of like the evil baddie in Blake 7. And then here she is, what, sort of 12 or 13 years later, cropping up in this role.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and dominating the screen again. Although it perhaps does give the game away slightly that she, her character is not going to be one of the goodies fairly early on.
I think that was fairly clear fairly early on. And
we're not giving too much away there, are we?
That's right. Yeah, Jacqueline Pierce showed up as a villain on Doctor Who in the 80s as well, in The Two Doctors. So she definitely did a lot of this, and it was always very entertaining.
And she's been on some of the big Finnish audio productions since, has she, Brian, I think?
She has been in the couple, yes. In 2000 AD, she was in one of the Stardium Dog dramas, and she showed up in one of the early Seventh Doctor dramas as well.
Okay. So Jacqueline Pierce, a sort of British invader's favourite, and here she is as the somewhat sinister Miss Pendragon. And of course, her dig, her excavation, her search for this strange something called the Behemoth leads the adventurous trio of Marcy, Thomas and Reet to plunge basically straight into trouble again as they seek to find truth behind this this strange fenced-off installation. And of course, again, the sort of hapless Miss Maitland, their teacher, can only be dragged along behind them as she tries to keep them out of trouble. Again, sort of fails to do so.
Yes, of course. Now, Dark Season was written and produced by Russell T. Davies, and he went on to produce and be the head writer for Doctor Who in its relaunch in 2005. He spearheaded that. Even back in 1991, he was definitely a fan of classic Doctor Who, which had been off the air for about 2 years by then.
That's right. I mean, famously cancelled by the BBC in 1989 because the then controller, amongst other people, but the then controller Michael Grade didn't like Doctor Who and didn't like science fiction on the television. But clearly, as we know, lots of fans still out there, and Russell T. Davies, one of those fans. And when he gets the opportunity to write his first TV show for children's television, I suppose we shouldn't be too surprised to see some perhaps linkage or influence of Doctor Who on this show, Dark Season. I mean, again, we're not the first people to mention this, but Marcy, this rather strange, eccentric 13-year-old girl who leads the trio, is very inquisitive, and she has something of the element of the Doctor about her. She's often getting into dangerous situations with little or nothing to protect herself, it seems. And she certainly has an inquiring mind.
And you have the heroes jumping in to try to solve this without any intent to do so violently or do so by fighting anyone. And that's a nice way to carry things on in a bit of that tradition. And it's even been pointed out that Thomas and Reet are sort of like companions to Marcy being like a central, more Doctor-like character.
So you can sort of make it fit the pattern of sort of classic Doctor Who. And of course, to back this up, as we expect, you're familiar with the opening sequence of Doctor Who. If you watch the opening sequence of Dark Season, as we discussed in our last episode, you will see some not dissimilar visuals. Some blurry lights, almost making a tunnel pattern on the screen, but not quite. And even to me, the music sounded a little bit similar to the classic Doctor Who theme. And it's almost as if the producers and Russell T. Davies are putting in a few little in-jokes for the Doctor Who fans.
Yes, just those tiny little hints slipped in there. There is also a moment where Reet tests the gravity with her yo-yo, which was something that the Fourth Doctor did in Ark in Space. So you have little references like that as well.
Yeah, another little in-joke, which you can sort of tell that RTD is putting in there for us. And strangely enough, Reet also will say a line at the end of the show of Dark Season, that she'll mention when she's trapped behind a door, that she'll say, "Where am I going to go? Ipswich." And Russell T. Davies would later recycle that line and use it for Rose Tyler when she was in a similar trapped situation in one of the early episodes of the new Doctor Who from his relaunch.
Right, of course.
So again, as these little references to past Doctor Who and perhaps looking forward to future Doctor Who. And as well, there's this situation of a strange mystery at a school and characters at the school having to investigate, and there's some computers which are up to some strange experiments which are involved in the mystery. And you may think that sounds a little bit similar to the episode from the new Doctor Who, School Reunion, which quite famously reintroduced Sarah Jane Smith as a companion and also brought back K-9, and was quite a popular episode from the new Doctor Who, Brian.
Yes, that was the first really solid links from classic Doctor Who to new Doctor Who, where you had the characters and the actors in both Sarah Jane Smith and K-9, you know, 1970s era characters showing up in the new Doctor Who. So that was really nice. And it was something that, you know, connects a little bit to Dark Season as well.
Yeah, and you can see that RTD may have borrowed, although I don't think he wrote School Reunion, but he certainly, you can see the influence of Dark Season on that episode.
Now forget I ever said it.
They will send their policemen and their soldiers and their little grey men in suits to witness what we have uncovered. And let them. Let them stand before the behemoth and see how very wrong their little world has been. Let them fall to their knees.
In this mud? Oh, dirty. Get them!
Now, we should talk about the ups and downs, the light and dark. What did we think about Dark Season? So, Eamon, what did you like about Dark Season?
Well, it's certainly quick. It gets on with it. We've got these 25-minute episodes. There's only six of them. And within those six episodes, they're going to tell two separate stories. So they have to get on with it. RTD has to move things along quite quickly. So there's not much in the way of padding and filler. And I liked that. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, that's certainly nice to see that it was fairly quick and went through a whole bunch of ideas and all these plot points and in good time, so that did work fairly well.
Yeah, and as you say, the ideas are good fun. I mean, Russell T. Davies is perhaps using some traditional science fiction ideas about mind control and paranoia about computers and so on, but he's doing them quite well. It's good, exciting stuff. He puts it in the school setting, and I liked the school setting. I liked the fact that they were able to use a real school to film in. Certainly made it feel very real. And quite sort of interesting and dramatic. So that stuff works well.
The school setting actually was quite well done. It was very believable and sort of worked and fit very well.
Yeah, it's good fun.
Now, should we talk about a couple of the more negative points?
Okay, I can tell you're eager to get to those, Brian.
Well,
what have you got?
Well, there were a few things. I found the story and the plot to be sort of generic. It felt like it was a bit of a cookie-cutter plot and, to a point, cookie-cutter characters that were sort of churned out to get like a sort of standard children's show. It reminded me of the after-school specials that you had in the States and sometimes from Disney and the Disney Sunday specials and things like that from the 1980s and the late 1970s. So honestly, the stories were not bad, but I thought they were almost a bit rushed. They didn't always work that well. I was the characters were a bit of a mixed bag. I found Marcy to be a little bit annoying.
Right. Yes, she can get on your nerves a bit with her eccentricities and refusal to answer any questions.
Yes, she's very sort of brash. And Miss Maitland seemed like a bit of a generic befuddled adult for a kids' series.
Yes, I mean, she gets not a lot to do, unfortunately, and most of what she does is just reacting to what the children are doing, and occasionally be needed when they need somebody to drive a car or something like that. So it's perhaps a slightly lesser role.
She got to do a lot of disbelieving and a lot of ferrying people around because she was the one who could drive.
And that's about it, really, isn't it? Yes.
And I wasn't too big on Mr. Eldritch, the villain in the first series. I found him to be a little bit sort of obvious and sort of generic and a little bit of a cardboard villain. I certainly did like Jacqueline Pierce in her appearance. And I also really liked Cyril Shapps in his appearance. So there were some nice character moments and some nice plot moments. So there were some good things in here as well, no question. Although it didn't work for me quite as well, but it definitely had some things that were nicely done.
Okay. I mean, I actually, I enjoyed both the villains. I mean, obviously we love Jacqueline Pierce in her memorably sinister role here. But I also, I quite liked Mr. Eldritch. I think I particularly liked the look of him. He certainly had this sort of, as you say, very tall, authoritative villain sort of feel about it. But although, as you say, he is slightly cliched as a bad guy. How did you get on with the other actors?
I would say they were okay. For the most part, they were not too impressive, but they weren't big disappointments either. They were okay. Most of them brought it off reasonably well. It was certainly interesting to see Kate Winslet in this very early role for her when she was about 15 or something like that. You know, she didn't have the acting skills that she had just a few years later, I would say. She was not nearly as interesting an actress, but there are one or two moments where she delivers a cynical line here and there or does something and really gets the delivery very solidly. So there, it was sort of interesting to see her at that stage.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, fascinating to see sort of her first main TV role and to see what she would go on to become in the future from this. But yeah, absolutely. And we've seen some interesting child actors while we've been looking at British Invaders. We've seen the very good in Children of the Stones and Time Slip. And we've seen the other extreme. There I mention the Tomorrow People, Brian.
Oh, did you have to mention that?
Again. This is more in the middle. These are fairly competent child actors doing pretty good work, I think, here in Dark Season. They're pretty good, mostly. And, of course, a couple of the adults really stand out, in particular Jacqueline Pierce.
Yes, I would have preferred to see maybe a different style of actress for that central character of Marcy. Because it was just a little bit too brash and too in your face. It was hard for that character to be likable, and I got the feeling that the character should have been a little more likable.
Right. I mean, it is hard at times to see what the two fifth form students are doing hanging around with this rather strange third former. But there you go.
Yes, I did wonder about that. And the use of computer technology in the first of these two serials was bizarre, to say the least, and sort of got more bizarre by the minute. And that was definitely kind of strange and unfortunately not quite as convincing as I would have liked, being a computer professional myself and seeing how what they did with the machines they were showing. Was stretching it a little bit, to say the least, even though it was meant to be a science fiction concept.
And weren't those computers in 1991 fantastic, Brian?
Oh, yes, absolutely. The little DOS machines or something of the kind.
Yeah, absolutely. They're getting very excited about these computers, and they just look like, now they look like piles of junk.
The big deal was what happens when you type in the word hello.
Absolutely, yes. And perhaps the only thing that's dated faster than computer technology from 1991 is the children's clothes, the fashion that they wear.
And the bleached blonde hair in not one but two characters.
Lots of bleached blonde hair. Very strange clothing. But there's some other bits and pieces. I mean, it's a Russell T. Davis script. And as always with Russell T. Davis, he has some interesting stuff to say about age and gender. So we get very strong roles for women. You know, we have two very strong teenage actresses, and then we have a strong female villain as well. And then there's also this little element about age and the children trying to establish themselves and trying to be taken seriously and feeling that they're being ignored by adults, despite the fact that in this series the kids seem to know more about what's going on than the adults do.
Yes, and there were points about like a changing of era with the turn of the century coming up, and that being connected to sort of these generational differences and so on.
Yeah, so, you know, it's good stuff. I mean, obviously, Russell T. Davis is in a way preaching to the choir when he's doing that for a children's BBC audience. But still, he gets a few little references in there, and you can see some of the stuff that he would go on to produce in his other television work, and when he would get to do Doctor Who, of course.
Yes, it was a few years later that he talked that he wrote and produced Century Falls, which we covered in episode 61 and 62. And at that time, they were actually considering continuing Dark Season, but took this approach of doing a different show, Century Falls. And I think Century Falls was a much more interesting series, and I think it was something where Russell T. Davies had sort of matured as a writer and producer and was able to do something much more interesting and a little more subtle and original at that point.
Yeah, okay. It's interesting. As you say, you know, we've gone through the good and the bad, and as you can tell, there's some variable elements in this show. Very early work from Russell T. Davies, and there were some bits we liked, and there's some other bits that perhaps we didn't like quite so much.
Yeah, absolutely. So talking about availability and spin-offs and the like, the original broadcast, as we said, was in late 1991, and it was repeated again in 1994, and a third time in 2002.
So it's been on our screens a few times. There was a novelization by Russell T. Davies himself, and that was quite interesting, I gather, because it hinted at the sort of setting for the third story, which I suppose in classic Scooby-Doo style was hinted to take place in a mysterious funfair. I haven't read the book, but it is out there available on the second-hand sites, although no longer in print.
So did the funfair have a haunted house somewhere?
Presumably, yes. There must have been at some point. And then in 2006, we got a Region 2 DVD release. It's a fairly plain DVD release. There are no extras. There's just the six episodes. But it's out there. It's still available on Amazon. The list price is £7, although I notice you can pick it up slightly cheaper than that in Amazon Marketplace. And it's also available on the rental site Love Film if you want to get hold of it that way.
And not surprisingly, it is not available as a Region 1 release. I don't think it has been broadcast in North America at all. I'm not aware of any overseas broadcasts. I believe Dark Season and Century Falls were both released on DVD not too long after the new Doctor Who started. So it was a way to reintroduce people to some of Russell T. Davies' earlier work.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was a tie-in with the success of the new Doctor Who, an interest in Russell T. Davies, and made a lot of people happy to see these two programs being released at more or less the same time. Fans who'd remembered them wanted to see them again.
Yes, absolutely.
What about the photographs?
The machine, young lady. The machine is a thing of truth in an inconstant age. If you care for the machine, if you respect the machine, if you love the machine, you may be a part of its truth.
So I think it's time to get to our recommendations. So, Eamon, what did you think and what do you recommend?
Well, I think we can tell how this one's going to go, Brian, but I came to Dark Season expecting not to like it and expecting it to find it just a throwaway children's TV show. And actually, I was, as you can probably tell, I was quite charmed by it and I had great fun watching these six very short episodes. It doesn't demand too much of us in terms of time or money. So my feeling about it is it's actually fun, and I almost, I think, prefer it to Century Falls, which I found a bit slower and slightly more turgid than this. So I would say, from me in England, it's a cautious recommendation to check it out on rental or a very cheap buy from Amazon Marketplace.
Well, I definitely preferred Century Falls to this. I thought it was a more interesting one, and I do have more of a preference to a little bit slower pacing, so that may be part of it. Dark Season, I thought, was okay. It was not anything terribly special. I would say there are definitely other things that I would point you to first. If you're looking for interesting children's material, I would go to Century Falls before I would go to this. I would go to Children of the Stones before I would go to that. But Dark Season is okay. It's, I would say, a bit of a throwaway, but not bad. Not great, but not bad. So I would say this is not a real recommendation, but not one to avoid either. Perhaps it would be not bad to check out as a rental, but not something to put much priority on either.
Okay, so it's a mixed review here on British Invaders. One thumb up, cautiously, and one thumb down. So if you want to have the casting vote, we're looking for somebody to come in and let us know what you think on Facebook or on the blog site. Do let us know if you've seen Dark Season. Do let us know if you feel or if you've watched it after our review. And let us know what you think, okay, Brian?
Absolutely. And feel free to send us email on that, too. And hopefully we'll be able to share a few of those comments in an upcoming bonus show.
We look forward to it.
So, in summary, Dark Season was an early 1990s children's TV show about three children in school, Marcy, Reet, and Thomas, who were investigating strange things that they saw at school, in their school, and around school. And they would observe things and see all kinds of strange and unusual things happening, which were, of course, fiercely denied by their teachers and so on. But they would always eventually get to the bottom of things and find some way to defeat the villains and make things come out for good after all.
A fun little show with a variable reception here on British Invaders, but do, as ever, let us know what you think.
Absolutely.
So next time, please come back and join us. We're going all the way back to 1973 to look at a co-production between BBC here in England and the ABC network in America, Moonbase 3, another six-episode series, and some interesting points to look at because it was produced by two Doctor Who regulars, Barry Letts and Terrence Dix.
Yes, that will be an interesting one going back to take a look at that. So, you can reach us at britishinvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at www.britishinvaders.com. We have a Facebook group, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find us there. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yep, thanks very much for joining us for Dark Season, and we look forward to your company for Moonbase 3. Until then, this is Eamon from England saying goodbye.